Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Dubs Royal Court News Review. This is Jen Bachman, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Cassandra Casserole Callahan. Hey, Cassandra.
Hi, Disco. How are you?
I'm good. Nice. And Cindy Ellicott. How are you, Cindy?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Thanks. We are missing one today. We are missing Jenny Berger, but I know we all got to catch up with each other and with Jenny a few weeks ago at Family Vacation 2. And 'tis the season for back to school fun and sports starting back up. So I am sure we will catch up with Jenny on a future show. So as we jump in today, ladies, I know I just mentioned we all saw each other at Disney recently. It seems like a long time ago, but it really wasn't for me. But outside of that, I'd love to know, as we start the school year and fall is upon us, what are you guys looking forward to? Cassandra, do you have anything going on?
We do. So my children are preparing to go to a brand new school. So mama has a lot of nerves about that. It's, you know, it's still being built, like it's in the final processes. So, you know, we're learning, we're going to have to learn a lot of new systems in place, you know, but that's not any of the fun stuff. We're also preparing to go back to Disney. So in about 27 days, we'll be heading back down to Walt Disney World, staying there for a few days. And then we are hopping on a DVC member cruise on the Disney Wish.
Ooh, so fancy.
That is, you know, yes, we're excited for school to start back, but we're really excited for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So a DVC member cruise, does that have different things, different characters, stuff like that than it would have on the regular Wish cruise?
So apparently it's pretty hush hush, but they always have like guest speakers that, you know, are associated in some way, whether it be Imagineers or like, you know, singers associated with some Disney movies. But from what I've heard, every day when you return back to your room, you are loaded down with lots of like free merchandise. So they say to bring an empty duffel bag because you're going to be coming home with a lot of swag. So, mm-hmm. Yes. So that's kind of what I'm most excited about. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, of course, I'm interested to see who will be on there. And then, you know, just going to maybe some of the speaker panels that they're having and that kind of thing. So it's going to be.
Is there a particular person that you're thinking like, oh, I hope this person is going to be on there?
Not particularly. I mean, like I would fangirl out if somebody from DiCapella was there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about it. Like, you know, I'm sure the kids are going to be in the kids club and wandering the ship. And then, you know, my husband and I will be able to, you know, go to the speaker panels and take advantage of, because it's going to be like we also want to take in the Wish. We haven't been on the Disney Wish before. And I'm excited to get, you know, beignets at, you know, that particular bar. It's, you know, based off of New Orleans and Tiana's Place, yeah, and stuff like that. So I'm excited about that.
Very nice.
Yep.
Very cool.
How about you, Cindy?
I am getting ready a week from today. We leave for a road trip, Britt and I, and we're heading down to Ontario, which from Saskatchewan, we come down through the States, and it's about a 26-hour drive. We'll split it up over 2.5 days. But it's fun. We love the road trips through the northern and eastern states. They always have lots of rest stops and interesting places you can get out and look around, stretch your legs, have a picnic. We always pack the cooler and we don't stop much at restaurants. We just have a cooler packed full of stuff. It's a plug-in one you can plug in the vehicle. And so we'll stop and have a little picnic, put a tablecloth on the picnic table and walk around a bit and take some pictures. And then we usually head on, drive again for a while and then stop again. But looking forward to the road trip part. But what we're really going down for is niece's wedding. It's a cousin that Brittany's quite close to in age, and as a cousin, they're very close. And she's getting married August 19th, which happens to be Britt's birthday. So we're going to have a big party down there.
Yeah.
And we'll drive through Chicago on the way there. So might get to see a few people from EDCOT in Chicago. So yeah, that would be nice too.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm struggling to catch up with work because of coming back on the 22nd of July from Disney and then trying to get ready to be gone again here right away by the 14th. But I'll keep trying, keep working on it. I'll be ready for holiday by the time we leave.
I hear that. I am trying to figure out how to like just be independently wealthy and travel all the time, but I've yet to crack the code. So if you guys figure that out first, let me know.
Where were you planning a trip to earlier?
Bora Bora.
She's always planning trips.
I am always planning. Well, yes, partially for me and partially
Well,
because it's my job. But I was looking at safaris in Botswana this
There you
morning
go.
when we were texting. So, look, my daughter's getting a little bit older. We could do more things. I don't know if she's ready for safari quite yet, but we're getting there.
So what about you, Jen? What's good with you?
Back to school. So my kids and my husband go back to school, which I will miss them, but I will enjoy the quiet of remote work from home once again. And then our next trip, we've got a couple of family things planned. Lots of weddings happening in my family right now, so we've got some travel for that. But our next Disney trip will be fall break, and we are going to be staying at the Contemporary for the first time. So we're pretty excited to check that out and, to look at all the peons and peasants getting on the bus as we're walking to Magic Kingdom.
Yes, the best part. Best part. Wow,
All right.
great.
Well, let's go ahead and jump in. So, Cassandra, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. So, my first topic really was about Halloween decorations and then the Halloween merch that's arrived at Walt Disney World. So, with the first Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party being, August 11th, it was no surprise. Well, maybe still a bit of surprise, being that it's 110 degree re real feel outside, that on July 31st, some of the first decor were spotted already at Magic Kingdom. So first and checking into the turnstiles at Magic Kingdom, you always have that kind of concreted off area, where they take advantage of celebrating whatever's going on or putting topiaries. Well, right now it's two jumbo pumpkins that are in place. And then you enter under the train station and you have the themed scarecrows with the pumpkin heads, but then you look all around and you see the buildings have now the fall buntings and they have the carved pumpkins that are now lining Town Square and then all the way down Main Street, USA. So fall is at Walt Disney World in August. They're ramping up for those Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. And then in the meantime, they have also rolled out their Halloween merch. And I don't know if you guys have seen any of the previews of the Halloween merch. And
I
sometimes I
have.
feel like, yes, and sometimes I feel like they are amiss, but I really think they knocked it out of the quote unquote park this year. So there's a lot of a little teal, a little pink, a little yellow, and of course a lot of orange, but it just really meshes well together. And I am gaga for a few of those pieces. So I might have my eye on them when we're going down in a few weeks. So and of course they have some new Hocus Pocus Haunted Mansion and Nightmare Before Christmas merch. But that new Halloween merch is pretty cute.
Yeah, I saw a few blogs with
Yes.
pictures, and I'm just drooling over some of it as
Yes.
well.
There's some really cute stuff.
I think they did a great job this year with it. And they have party exclusive merchandise again this year, which they haven't had for a little bit. So that's nice.
Yeah. So I, there was not a mug I had an eye on there, at least, that I have my eye on a particular mug, but it's not there. It's over at Animal Kingdom at Expedition Everest. I am coming for that Yeti mug. Really cute Yeti. So, but I can't wait to check out that merch in person because it's super cute. So.
Well, another thing that they've got a lot of merch that's beautiful on for is the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. So I'm going to just give a bit of a highlights of that. It started the end of July, I believe the 26th or 27th. It runs through till November 18th. It's one of the most popular festivals in Epcot, and of course has all the food booths and a lot of the entertainment, the Eat to the Beat concerts and stuff like that. They have 31 new food items, menu items this year, not including alcohol, just the food items. And that includes some new plant-based options as well, such as moussaka at Greece, which looks really interesting. There's 5 new booths, although one of them actually is replacing the hops and barley at the American Pavilion. It's called Flavors of America. So technically it's a replacement, I guess. But anyway, there is a different menu a little bit. So one of them is called Char and Chop, and it's exactly what they say, a charcuterie kind of booth, roasted porchetta, the best of the bacons, grilled impossible spicy sausage, a sort of platter with grilled ciabatta. Mm-hmm. So that sounds good.
I think that'll go over pretty well.
I think so. Yeah. Everybody really loves charcuterie, and, this sounds like a nicely done.
Yeah.
So you can buy individually and as far as the alcoholic beverages as well, but then you can also do the platter with an assortment, and then it comes with some grilled ciabatta for you to enjoy. So kind of have a little picnic in Epcot. That'd be fun. And you could do that as well with the wine and wedge. It's wine and artisanal cheeses. One of the menu items is the Borsin fig and balsamic souffle. Then it goes from that to a southern pimento cheese dip with bread and butter pickles and grilled bread, and focuses on a lot of local wines. So you're going to see Florida distilleries and Florida wineries there. So the alcoholic drinks they're focusing on Florida there. Third new one is Bubbles and Brine. And I think you could add a third B to that, which would be bougie. Because it's champagne and seafood. Menu items are a shrimp cocktail, crab cocktail, and caviar with champagne cream and a blini. So, and then a lot of different champagne options. I think there's 5 different options for champagne at that booth.
Wow.
Different. And one swirled showcase, which is ice cream. So for all of us ice cream lovers, I know Chris will be drooling over this, but it's mostly soft serve ice cream, floats. A couple of things interesting on their menu: they have a Mickey shaped liquid nitro cake. Have any of you any idea what that would be?
I feel like I had a liquid nitro offering a year or two ago there, but it wasn't a cake. It was like, I don't even, it was like a popsicle situation.
Ah, okay.
I don't know.
I have no idea. So and what you're saying also, is Chris is treating to ice cream.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, and they have the nice sugar cones that you can get your ice cream, your swirled ice cream in 2 different flavors. So, and then they have a beverage that looks really cool. It's a frozen apple pie, and it's non-alcoholic. So they do actually have 3 specialty drinks there that are non-alcoholic, which I like. Mm-hmm. We don't drink as much as we used to around Epcot during the food and wine. We find a lot of the non-alcoholic drinks are just as good, and there's about a $10 price difference. So we've been sticking with the non-alcoholic, so I'm glad to see more of them coming up with interesting drinks. Just a few notes for things that we're used to. Everybody loves the filet at the Canada Pavilion, mm-hmm. and this year they have included Borsin mashed potatoes with it. So you're going to get just a little bit more value for the money. I always thought it was missing some sort of a side. So the mashed potatoes, I know, would be a hit with Cassandra. And fry basket, which is another one I know Cassandra liked last year.
Cannot wait. Cannot wait.
Yeah. So they've got the sea salt and malt vinegar fries. They've got barbecue bacon fries with a smoked aioli. And then they've got the sweet potato casserole fries with candied pecans, toasted marshmallow cream, and maple bourbon glaze. And it sounds just like that amazing candied sweet potato thing that somebody made at our Friendsgiving. Who was it that made that?
Oh, that was me. I don't know who that was.
Right. That was me. I remember now. Anyhow, you can't go wrong with a sweet potato casserole. So I think those would be pretty interesting. The one I'm not so sure about is this pickle milkshake at Brewing at the Odyssey Center. You
Yes, I
guys
was
up to
hoping you'd
trying
talk
that?
about this.
Are you guys going to try it?
Brady's a big pickle fan, so he's excited. I've seen, I think it was Tracy McCoy had tried it, and her comment was, "It is almost like nail polish remover with a pickle aftertaste," which is
Oh.
not the review I wanted. So, I may take a sip if Brady goes for it, but it's not my first choice.
Sounds like it might go really well with some of their wings, though. So maybe they would be okay with
My
that.
husband is insisting on trying it, so I don't know that I want to waste the money, but was your son Jen geeking out over, I guess, the theming?
With the Muppets,
Yes.
yeah.
Muppets,
Yeah.
So it is,
Yeah, with
does look super cute. So
Beaker and Honeydew.
yeah. Yeah, that is pretty cute. So
And the one drink that I do think I would try, though, is at Mexico, and it's called Trouble in Paradise Margarita. Has mezcal, watermelon liqueur, rosé wine, lime juice, and agave.
Ooh.
So I know Cassandra's not big on the drinks. Do you think that would, like, if you got that in a non-alcoholic with watermelon, kind of a lime juice, some 7-Up in it, that sound good? No?
No, it depends on if depends on if it's like real watermelon tasting or like the
Oh, yeah.
delicious watermelon tasting. I can't,
I get
not
you
a
on
big
that.
fan of the artificial watermelon taste. So
Mexico usually does their own, so I would assume they do their own watermelon
yeah.
syrup or puree for it. So,
We
and the
want to
most
try.
exciting thing is the Hawaii booth has the passion fruit cheesecake back. So, unfortunately, we're not going to be there for Food and Wine this year, so
Yeah.
I won't be able to eat 5 or 6 of them, but I'm excited to know that it's back.
We're,
So.
well, I'm looking forward to, or I was looking forward to the spam sushi again, but is that one of the booths that opens up late September? Or
Nope.
they're
Hawaii is open right now. Yeah.
Oh, yay! So, what you're saying is yuca fries at the Fry Basket, which are, I thought, the real winner, and then Spam Sushi. And then Flavors and Fire has that, the corned beef, which is the only way I'll eat corned beef, on those chips with the,
Right.
oh my goodness.
Yeah, don't try the chocolate cake with the barbecue chips underneath it, though. I've heard it's really awful.
I think I saw that on a couple vlogs, and I didn't know it was
Yeah.
from there. Yeah, I
Yeah.
can imagine. So,
Well, I mean, some people have liked it, but in my
yeah.
mind, I just can't imagine soggy barbecue chips on the bottom of a chocolate cake. But
No, thank you.
Not when you put it that way.
Yeah.
That's probably not how they write it up, I will
Yeah.
admit.
All right.
So
Well,
that's, oh, the only other thing about Food and Wine is that they have some awesome gift cards this year. They always have a special feature of gift cards that you can buy for the Epcot Food and Wine that are special characters and stuff like that. But these ones that were created for the Food and Wine Festival this year have Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, and they're from the Picnic Collection. And both characters are dressed as chefs, and they're preparing a feast at the park's iconic Spaceship Earth and World Showcase.
Yeah.
So, and those are nice because you can, they're on the little cords. You can just put it around your wrist. It's easy to pay at the booths and stuff like that. So,
And to keep a budget, not that we have, I always intend
just put
to
more
get
money
one of
on it.
those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
No, we'll
easy to
just,
put more money on them.
we'll just continue to swipe the credit card or the magic band. But yeah, they're really
Yeah.
cute and really handy.
Yeah.
So.
I like the look of these, and they are kind of, they're making it to be almost like collector's items with these, with actual designed art on them. So, if anybody has extras that's going down there during Food and Wine, they could always mail them to their friend in Canada. I'd be okay with that. They don't have to have money left on them. You can spend the money.
But a bonus if they did, right?
Yeah. No kidding.
All right. Well, you guys covered some fall and Disney World. So I'm going to go to the opposite side of the country and talk about Disneyland's resort holiday offerings. So this is returning to Disneyland and Disney California Adventure November 10th through January 7th. And they're going to have both new and returning offerings at these locations. So kind of, I don't want to say similar, but akin, I guess, to Food and Wine. They have the Festival of the Holidays marketplaces there. It's on a much smaller scale than the Festival of the Holidays at Epcot, but it is available there. And then there's projections and fireworks on Sleeping Beauty's Winter Castle. And of course, Mickey in his holiday outfit. So jumping over to Disney California Adventure, they tend to focus on the more cultural aspects, and they are offering a distinctly Disney holiday celebration with diverse food, entertainment, and more. So they're saying that it's going to draw inspiration from multicultural seasonal celebrations like Christmas, Navidad, Diwali, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and Three Kings Day. So there's going to be those festival offerings. And similarly, Cindy, to what you were just talking about, you can get a Sip and Savor pass, which that works, I think, a little bit different. Instead of a dollar balance, it's 8 entitlement tabs. So you pay for it, and then it gets redeemed for food and non-alcoholic beverage offerings. So if you're going the bougie route, that doesn't work. But it's a great option to try some fantastic food and some drinks there. They're going to have live dancers and performances. And then Disney and Pixar characters are going to march to the beat of the holiday toy drummers in what's being called Mickey's Happy Holidays. Disney Viva Navidad is going to return to Paradise Gardens Park. So that's the 10th season they've had that there. And they will have a new menu at that Paradise Garden Grill. The Three Caballeros will be there hosting a joyous street party, and that's going to feature Mexican folklorico dancers and mariachis. They're also going to have Brazilian samba dancers, giant puppets, and then, of course, Mickey and Minnie in their holiday best. And they are touting special appearances by Mirabelle from Encanto. So that sounds super cute and super fun. Over at Disneyland, I mentioned that Sleeping Beauty's Winter Castle, so that's going to be adorned with icicles and snow-capped turrets. They are going to have a gingerbread house set up in Disney Californian Hotel, and then they do uniquely themed Christmas trees through Disneyland, all the hotels there, and then their downtown Disney district. Of course, because they don't get a lot of snow in California, they will have some Disney magic snow in select areas of the park. And then probably what's most known for this time of year out in Disneyland is the overlays they do to some of the rides. So it's a Small World holiday. Of course, they do and it's fantastic if you've never seen it, but the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay at the Haunted Mansion. And over at California Adventure, they're also doing a Luigi's Joy to the World and Master Jingle Jamboree. So those are some rethemes or overlays for rides in Cars Land there as well. So lots going on there. Santa Claus is going to be there up until December 24th, when he, of course, has to go back to the North Pole. There is a Christmas theme parade featuring Frozen and Toy Story and Pixar characters happening at Disneyland. There is a nighttime spectacular at Disneyland as well with fireworks and projections. And then at California Adventure, it is World of Color, and they have a holiday theme. It's Season of Light. So that'll be really nice to see as well. I was last in Disneyland at the end of January, early February, and I try not to do more than one trip a year. but I coincidentally have a work event in Anaheim in early December. So I don't know, you guys, I might have to make a stop.
I think that is absolutely warranted because yeah. I kind of want to go.
I've been to Disneyland before for at Christmas time between Christmas and New Year's, and it's just as heartwarming as Disney World. It's a little different in some of the things they do, so it's fun, it's interesting, but the weather's a little cooler. When we were there, it was actually kind of chilly. We had to buy blankets to stay and watch the New Year's Eve fireworks and stuff. Fun.
Yeah, we're still trying to find our perfect first trip time to go. So
yeah, it's busy, but it sure was fun. I mean, everybody there was in the Christmas spirit, and it was a really great experience. We really enjoyed it.
Halloween is my favorite time to go to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. You guys know I'm very passionate about the Oogie Boogie Bash.
Yes.
But I mean,
if you can get tickets, apparently.
Oh man, we don't have time to talk about that. Ooh, that is a whole thing.
Yes. My goodness.
Yeah, it's sold out for this year already.
Yeah. Yep, sure did.
Goodness. Yeah. So all right. Well, that was a lot of good info, and I definitely think you need to go there early December. So
I agree.
Yeah. I am going to hop back over to Epcot, where Cindy talked about the food and wine. And just a few days ago, it was revealed that permits have been filed for the Figment meet and greet. So announced that last year's D23 event was the return of a Figment meet and greet in late 2023. And then more recently, they updated that Figment would return in late summer. So summer ends September 22nd. So we're kind of pushing that a little bit. But in what capacity is he going to arrive back? We're not sure. We're, you know, if he's just going to be like BB-8 size or like Mickey Mouse size, if he's going to have Dreamfinder with him, you know, that kind of thing. So that still has not been announced. So Walt Disney World Parks and Resorts has filed a new permit for the installation of scenic items at the Journey into Imagination Pavilion. And that, of course, is what houses Journey into Imagination Ride, the Figment Ride. The contractor on the permit is listed as Bungalow Scenic Studios, which is a frequent collaborator with Walt Disney World on a small scale sets for characters and entertainment, such as Ralph Breaks the Internet in the ImageWorks Lab and Imagination Land for Inside Out, so where you meet joy and sadness. The timeline looks to be potentially to coincide with the Disney 100 celebration at Walt Disney World being also held at Epcot, which will begin on September 22nd. So I would not be surprised if that's when, you know, mm-hmm. Figment makes his appearance. So, because I believe that Mickey and Minnie are going to have a new place to meet at, and they have new costumes, and it's a very short celebration event, I believe, but, and we don't have a lot of information on it quite yet.
So, I wonder, based on your description, I wonder if Joy or Vanellope, who meet in that Imagination Pavilion now, if one of them will be displaced.
I don't know, because I'm trying to think where they would place him. You would think that it would be outside, like once you get off of the ride,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you
and they're both in there. Them. So I don't know. Interesting.
I don't know. But I imagine, you know, it's going to be crazy town when he does appear, and, you know, five hour waits, you know, so.
I will not be surprised if they do some kind of virtual queue system like they do for Santa Goofy at Hollywood Studios.
Santa Goofy had a virtual queue?
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was either Santa Goofy or regular Santa, but I think it was Santa Goofy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Regular Santa had a...
Was it regular Santa? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know in Disney Springs he did, I believe.
I'm only interested in Santa Goofy.
Santa Goofy. So. I mean, sorry, Santa, you know, but like, yeah. So, but I'm excited to meet Figment. We're big Figment fans, but we're also there often enough. I'm not going to wait 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To meet him.
Yeah. Maybe he can sign the popcorn buckets that maybe other people sit in line for 5 hours to get.
That would be interesting.
Fortunately, I was wondering if we had a friend there in that line, so we have one, but I was not in that line.
I was wondering if they were going to bring out a new one just because of the 100 or something like that, but we'll see. Disney has said that Epcot's going to be the celebration, Disney 100 celebration is going to take place mainly at Epcot. So that's where the focus is going to be. So I can see the Figment, you know, part playing into it and starting around the same time, especially with it happening just after the end of Food and Wine. So there's kind of a opening there. And there's rumors that the new nighttime spectacular is going to kick off about the same time as the Figment meet and greet and the Disney 100 celebration when it debuts this fall. And when we were there in July, we noticed that there were quite a few pilings and raised platforms that are starting to appear in the World Showcase Lagoons. So I kind of expect them to be part of the new spectacular. And we were looking at it and it almost looks like as if there's going to be a stage like Fantasmic has, so that, you know, individuals could come out and perform on the stage. So be interesting. There hasn't been a lot of information released about it, but I love the nighttime spectacular shows, so I'll be interested in seeing that. The other thing that is happening right now, if I stay in Epcot, is they're working on the exterior refurbishment at the Hotel du Canada. So being from Canada, I was interested in this when I was looking at the fact that they're repainting it a lighter color. And that kind of fits in with the Disney 100 celebration. But also what I know about that hotel is that it was patterned after the Chateau Laurier in Ottawa, and which is French or what you would call Norman Gothic design. Of course, the most famous example would be the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. But many hotels and cathedrals in Canada are built in that style. I think you've probably heard of the Banff Springs Hotel, Fairmont Springs. And they were all built by the railroad, the Empire guys that were making money off the railroad. But there's also a hotel in Saskatoon known as the Besborough Hotel. And these have all become known as castle hotels. So I thought it was interesting that they're painting the Hotel du Canada in the Canadian Pavilion a lighter color, which kind of is more similar to the castle at Magic Kingdom. So Castle Hotel is looking more like a castle.
Interesting. Any other Epcot updates or 100th updates?
I do not have any. I do not.
Okay.
I don't have anything else. Nope.
Okay. Well, I can jump into, there's like a barrage of, I'll file this under random Disney Cruise Line news. So I'm going to go through this fairly quickly, but there are just some random updates that I think are notable, or if you are planning a cruise or if you have a cruise booked, you may want to know about. So the first one is, if you are a Pearl Castaway Club member, which means that you have a lot more money and vacation time than I do because you've completed 25 sailings, they are now making a change to where those guests are automatically checked in and placed in the first boarding group on their cruise. So they do not need to follow the online check-in process as people in other categories do. For internet packages, there has been a change that has taken effect over the last week. So this affects all the internet packages except for the Wonder. And that will probably transition to this model near future. I think there's a dry dock scheduled for that ship coming up in fall. So outside of that, we now have the Stay Connected package, which is basically they're saying you use that for social media, but you can't count on it for email access and you can't stream on that. So that used to be $12 a day. That's now $16 a day if you purchase it for the full voyage. That's a little bit of an increase. You also have the option to purchase it just for 24 hours, and then it's $18 for that 24 hours. If you are going on a cruise and you're going to do that, the hour starts at midnight or 12:01. So if you are like surfing on your phone at 11:50 p.m. and are like, oh, I'll just, or want to surf and say, I'll just buy the internet package, you're going to get 10 minutes out of it. So just hot tip there. If you're going to buy it a day at a time, pay attention to the time and pay attention to the local ship time too. They also have like a mid-range package that you still can't stream on, and that's 24 a day for the full voyage, or 28 a day for 24 hours. And then they've got this premium surf package, and this is going to give you streaming. So if your kids are addicted to YouTube and you can't pry them away from that to enjoy all that a Disney cruise offers, or if there's a sports game you can't miss, this is the one, I guess, for those folks. And that's $34 a day when purchased for the full voyage, but that's actually $2 a day less than it had been. And then if you only need that for 24 hours, you're going to pay a whopping $42 for that. So
I wonder, is that per device? I wonder.
I think it is.
Yeah. I'd be like, husband, hand me your phone. You know, yeah. We're sharing phones.
Yeah. So as a reminder, you do not need to purchase internet on Disney Cruise Line to use the Navigator app. So it's definitely optional, but I know a lot of people have to stay connected one way or the other. Disney Cruise Line has also added a flexible planning calculator to their webpage. So it's not really a planning calculator as much as it is a way to sample payment plans. So if you want to figure out, like, if you want to make a certain amount of payments or pay it off by a certain date, or, you know, figure out what's best for your budget, there is now a tool that you can play around with and do that on. There's also a change to spa bookings on Disney Cruise Line. So starting October 2nd, you now book an appointment time slot if you want to go to the spa, rather than reserving a specific treatment. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, if you know you want to go to the spa, but don't necessarily know what you're going to feel like, you now have a little more flexibility there. There is a new deck party on the Disney Dream, and the Disney Dream is going to be over in Norway doing the Norwegian fjords and Iceland. So on the Disney Dream, it is a 90s throwback themed party. Mickey's Color Spin Dance Party is what they have named this. And if you guys have not been to like Target or outside your house, the 90s are back full force. So they are, I think, just taking this and running with it.
I was,
yes.
Like,
but Max is going to be there from the Goofy movie. And then it's going to be super interactive. There's a sing-along pre-show, and partygoers can dress as their favorite character or join color crew dancers. So if you just want to represent pink because you love pink, that's cool. Or you can dress as a character. So it'll be interesting to see how popular it is and if they roll it out to other ships. And then the last update I have is for Magic Band Plus. So it really hasn't been a part of Disney Cruise Line thus far, but now on the Wish, and starting on, I think it's the Fantasy, we are going to be able to use Magic Bands coming up.
We just ordered ours.
You just ordered yours? Perfect. Yep. No, so yeah. The Wish began doing this on sailings, I think it was June 12th and beyond. And then it's the Fantasy, and they just started at the end of July. So much like Disney World, you are going to be able to use that Magic Band Plus to get into your room, to charge things that aren't included on the ship, purchase merchandise, and use it to board the ship, which I think is interesting. So you use it on embarkation day. And of course, they're going to have some magical features worked into just the ships themselves, and then Castaway as well for people that have those magic bands. So if you have one from Disneyland or Disney World, they will work.
Yep.
If you want a super cute Disney Cruise Line one, which I know we all probably would.
Yes.
You can do that.
Best one. That's exactly what happens. Do we?
Yeah. I think it's cute. I think it may work better there, honestly, than it does at Disney World.
Yeah.
I just honestly at Disney World find them distracting. But interested to see what that's like.
And, so you'll have to let us know. For the kids, if they have the new, and it's not called Magic Band Plus. For the cruise line, it's something or another.
Is it Disney Band Plus?
It's Disney Band Plus because there was, in certain areas they couldn't utilize that term. So if you have a child going to the kids club, where they would have received a kids club magic band before, you know, that stays on them, they will use that, the new Disney Band Plus instead. Nice. So, yeah. But it's nice that we'll be able to take this off of the ship and then go straight to Walt Disney World and then use it to check in the turnstile, you know.
Yeah. I think that's like huge for people that are doing land and sea.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but like I'll get home from Disney World and I'll be like trying to scan my magic band at the grocery Walmart. Store.
Yeah.
Like my magic band that's not even on my wrist anymore. Right. Like I'm using it to unlock my house. And so it'll be nice to have that continuity.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it necessary? No. Do you still get a key to the world card? Yes. But, you know, they give you a $10 off per magic bands.
Pays for itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, but, you know, there were Disney Cruise Line exclusive ones. So, of course, you know, I had to have one. So, but, you know, jumping off of your discussions about Disney Cruise Line, I wanted to talk about the new, the newest Disney Cruise Line ship, and that's the Disney Treasure. So while it was noted a few months ago that Voyager Mini would be present on the bow of the ship, you know, with filigree and whatnot, on July 12th, it was unveiled that Disney Cruise Line's newest ship being currently built at Meyer Werft Shipyard in Papenburg, Germany. It will have Peter Pan and Captain Hook on the stern. So, you know, you have Rapunzel, and I've only ever cruised on the Dream. So I only know Rapunzel, you know, with painting. It's going to have Captain Hook and Peter Pan. So I thought that was pretty cute.
Super cute.
Now, I don't know the statue that's going to be in the lobby or any of that. But more excitingly for many fans are rumors that one of the bars on the ship will be themed to Haunted Mansion.
Ooh.
So there's not been an official announcement on that, just a rumor, but I sure hope it's true. So the Disney Treasure which began construction in January 2023, is set to sail in 2024.
Nice.
I'm not sure where they're set to sail out of. I wonder if the Wish Treasure is going to come to, you know, Port Canaveral. I don't know.
I wonder if they're going to leave the Dream
in the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Which
sailing out of Rome.
That, the cruise you were talking about, Jen, the Norwegian Fjords, that sounds pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would love to do that. So I hope to find ourselves on the Treasure, but we shall see, because of course the newest ships are the most costly.
So, yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that's what I have for the Treasure.
Okay, well, I will move ahead then with some, just making sure I'm not muted here, sorry. Feel good news. I always like the feel good news about Disney and how well they look after cast members and their community and stuff like that. And the one news article that I found on the Disney Parks blog was talking about Disney making magic for cast member and Air Force reservists. So at Disney, they're well known for supporting the U.S. Armed Forces and their families. They have the Shades of Green Resort that they allow discounts and stuff, even though they don't own the resort, but you can get discounted tickets and there's transportation, and it's treated just like a deluxe resort at Disney. So this article was about one of the cast members, who is actually guest experience manager at Disney's Animal Kingdom by the name of Harry Doria, who also serves in the U.S. Air Force Reserves as a master sergeant. And he has just been redeployed to Southwest Asia for an extended deployment. And so he made a call and asked if the Disney Salute Veteran Affinity Group, which is made up of Disney cast members who either served in the military or are from military families, if they could help him make some magic for his team of more than 100 deployed airmen. So they put some boxes and donation places out within the offices, the cast member areas and stuff like that, and collection boxes, and collected food items, hygiene items, reading material, things like that. And then they met up with Disney Volunteers, which is another group that Disney cast members that includes Salute members who just spend time volunteering for things for the community. And they sorted it all out, made up all these boxes and stuff like that, sent it off to Midwest Asia, about 10 weeks. It arrived there, said they were a little banged up, but the spirits were really high of the airmen that received them, especially getting the Mickey Rice Krispie treats and things like that that were packed in there, as well as there were a lot of letters sent, written by cast members and managers and stuff from Disney, wishing them well and thanking them for their service. So, but what they found was that the cast members had been so generous in their donations that they had way too many items to send halfway across the world. So they were able to take half the donations and share them with the Orlando Fisher House, which is a comfort home in the United States built by the Fisher House Foundation. And military and veterans families stay there while a loved one or someone is receiving treatment at the Orlando VA Medical Center at Lake Nona. And it's of no cost to them to stay there. So they shared all of this, half of these goods with that group as well. So they received a bunch of these items, feel good items to cheer them up while their loved one was going through treatment as well. So I think that's a real important thing to remember about Disney when we talk about how much money we spend there, is that they really are involved in supporting community cast members and even sticking their neck out politically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Fisher House is a really great organization. We have one probably about 5 minutes from our house, and the company I work for does a lot of work with them. So
I've not heard of that. So that was interesting.
It's kind of like, you know, I know most people
think of Ronald McDonald House, right?
It's similar in concept to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great.
Yep. That's great.
Good.
I'm going to do it. I don't know how to segue from that, Cindy. So I'm just going to go and tell you, we're going to talk about changes to dining reservations. So at both Disney World and Disneyland, they are going to roll out this enhancement, no particular date, but since it's been announced and news wires have picked it up, I'm assuming it's pending, but it is intended to make the guest experience more convenient. And it's in relation to how you actually book your dining reservations. So what happens today is you go to make a reservation at a particular restaurant, and you can pick breakfast, lunch, or dinner, sometimes brunch, but or you can pick a time, and it'll give you, if there's even availability, three options between or for that category. So let's say you go for breakfast, you'll get three time slots. What they are going to do moving forward is show guests all reservation slots available to them for their selected dining location and time frame. So I'm pretty excited actually about this option, because sometimes, like if I hit breakfast and they give me 7:35, 7:40, and 7:45, and I want to eat at, you know, 10 o'clock, I've got to mess with it. And I just think this gives people a lot more flexibility to get what they really want instead of playing the game of, you know, grabbing something because you can get it and then trying to modify. So this is also going to help. I think there's a lot of confusion, especially as the resorts that serve breakfast or the restaurants that serve breakfast transition to lunch menu and lunch pricing.
Crystal Palace.
Yeah. And then lunch and dinner menus, pricing is usually different. So it will be clearer with this change what the guest is booking so they can be better aware of what price they would expect to pay. So there'll be rolled out in phases across the website and both iOS and Android platforms coming soon.
That's excellent news. Always glad to hear of improvements to Disney IT.
Yeah.
Right. We'll see. Hopefully they don't roll it out on a Tuesday, right? That's the day it always crashes.
Yes. No, that will be helpful, like I said, with Crystal Palace, because I'll go to book a reservation, say at 11:30, you know, like where you do the whole, I'm going to have a late breakfast, so it's really lunch, and it's going to hold me over until dinner. And then you go and say, okay, well, is that really, you have to go Google, is that really lunch or is that breakfast pricing? You know what I mean? So that will be, that'll be helpful. So I just have one more update. And this is a little similar to the Figment meet and greet, but this is about Hatbox Ghosts. So I don't know how many Haunted Mansion fans we have out there. I don't know if anybody else has seen the Haunted Mansion movie. My family has. We thought it was great. We really enjoyed it. So we'd love to hear back if you guys have. But also unveiled at D23 last year, along with Figment, was the Hatbox Ghost at Disney's Haunted Mansion would be making its way to Walt Disney World in 2023. So after making its way back to Disneyland in 2015, you know, of course, originally it was there and then it disappeared and then it came back in 2015. So we've been hopeful that he would find a spot at Walt Disney World. But so it was recently announced that the Hatbox Ghost will not be in the same location he's in at the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland. In the original version of the ride, he's at the end of the attic scene after the bride, so Constance Hathaway. At Magic Kingdom, he will be early in the ride by the endless hallway where guests see a candelabra floating by itself. The temporary barriers will presumably go up during the ride's August closure from the 7th to the 9th. So that is tomorrow, you know, recording. But the ghost won't be installed in time for the start of the Halloween season. So I think that was a little bit of a miss. People will always say, also say not releasing the Haunted Mansion at, you know, in October was a miss. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited, you know, because we've been all waiting for this for a long time. I'm excited
just to see him there. I've seen the one in Disneyland and it's just, I think it's just fun.
Yeah, it always seemed like it was missing at Walt Disney World, like it should just be there.
Yep.
So I have some information that to do with the Walt Disney World Governing District that replaced the Reedy Creek Governing District. It was mentioned that as of August, a longtime fire chief of the Reedy Creek Fire Department, when it was serving with Walt Disney World, has retired. So he will no longer be serving that. And this seems a little coincidental because also as of August 3rd, the Walt Disney World's governing district has abolished its diversity, equity, and inclusion programs and related initiatives. Under the control of the appointees, they eliminated any jobs associated with those duties. And this decision includes past initiatives that aim to achieve racial and gender parity through contract awards. So they announced the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District announced the elimination of these programs in a statement, citing the belief that such initiatives were illegal and simply un-American. And it created some backlash and contention because it was decided internally by the five appointed board members, and there was no public meeting or consultation or anything like that. It was just announced. So it seems like the Walt Disney World governing district is moving forward under the control of the Florida governor, but it seems like all the news coming out of it is bad news lately.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is a this is hard for me. I've worked 25 years plus in the industry of advocating for individuals and inclusion, individuals that may experience disabilities during their lifetime or are underserved, whether it's through a language disparity or something like that. And sometimes you get the feeling that it's been a lot of years and it hasn't really made a difference when you see things like this, where they've just completely abolished that policy.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what happens, but yeah, that's disappointing. Mm-hmm. Cindy, you had like one feel good and then one wah wah. This is like getting a big surprise and Diet Coke. That's what today is.
Sorry.
That's okay. So I can jump in and talk about, again, there is no segue from that to this. But guess what, guys? Trails End Restaurant and Crockett's Tavern are reopened at Fort Wilderness Campground. If you haven't been to Fort Wilderness, I think it's definitely worth a visit. It's super fun to stay there. It's a totally different Disney trip. But even if you don't want to stay there, go see Hoop-Dee-Doo. Go if you're doing a resort day or like a non-park day, it's a fantastic location to do that. Yeah. And Trails End used to be their buffet prior to COVID. And then they did like a family style meal when they reopened. And they've been closed for a while and they've made some changes. So these locations are both very close to Hoop-Dee-Doo. And if you take the boat from Magic Kingdom, right as you get off the boat, you'll be within spitting distance, as they would say, of these locations. So they have reimagined both of these. Honestly, they sound kind of similar, but maybe just they don't look as tired as they did previously. They're said to embrace the resort's quaint charm and honor its heritage at heart with wooden furnishings, beam ceilings, and rustic accents. So Trails End was a sit-down meal, and it was a great value. And now this is a quick-service restaurant, which has been very controversial.
She's a little salty about it, y'all. She's a little salty.
Yes, I am. But, you know, I think their assumption is that a lot of people staying there tend to cook their own meals. And this now has family-size entrees you can bring back to your campsite. Or have a picnic like Cindy loves to do, or you can get individual entrees there. So there is a pizza station as well. You can get a pizza topped with house smoked brisket, sausage, and pepperoni. Or if you hate meat, you can get a delicious roasted vegetable pie or cheese or pepperoni. So lots of options there. That family style offering, if you have lots of grocery stores do this, but it's like the deal where you get the fried chicken and then some sides. So basically they have a version of that and you can get pecan or pecan, depending where you're from, smoked whole chicken or brisket and a rack of ribs or fried chicken. And they have sides available by the pound, and that's going to be mac and cheese, plant-based cowboy beans, and mashed potatoes. In addition to that, I know, Cassandra.
Let's hope it is not the same cowboy beans. You knew where I was coming.
I knew where you were going.
I mean, you guys, obviously you can't see us, but she saw me in the camera and I just opened my mouth because we loved Hoop-Dee-Doo. We just did Hoop-Dee-Doo, but those cowboy beans just left something to be desired.
Yeah, they just weren't it.
So if those are the same cowboy beans... Not a fan.
No.
I'm a fan though of this. I know you're sad to lose this sit down restaurant, but you know, to bring back like a family style kind of meal that you can get by the pound based on the size of your family and not have to
And I think it falls in line. Yeah. Falls in line with the DVC idea with the announcement that they are going to be replacing some of the cabins with DVC cabins. At Fort Wilderness.
Yeah.
Is it all of the cabins? Yeah. And so, their goal of that is for like fall of 2024. So they'd be moving fairly quickly ahead with that and selling DVC memberships for Fort Wilderness. So again, that kind of fits in with what you'd be looking to do as a DVC member. Lots of times you rent the villas and one bedrooms and stuff like that so that you can cook for your family or eat together at home and sort of reduce your expenses.
Yep. So they've got those family style meals. And then if you're, my family can never all get together on like something we agree to eat. So if you're like us, or if you're just one or two people, you can get, you know, your typical quick service classics. They have cheeseburgers, veggie burgers, chicken nuggets, French fries. But they definitely are focusing on this home style meal aspect. So they are going to have some barbecue ribs, fried chicken available, and an individual size, and then hand scooped ice cream, Cindy. And specialty coffees like the Wilderness Latte, which has chocolate and hazelnut flavors. They are also touting a chicken wrap that has house-made blueberry barbecue sauce, which I've never heard of. But I'm interested to try.
Sounds good. You looked intrigued.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. If you have a sweet tooth, they will have a house-made bakery there. So they have some old recipes they're bringing back, like banana pudding, carrot cake cupcake, blueberry bread pudding, and the strawberry shortcake from Hoop-Dee-Doo. So you can get that if you enjoy it. If you don't, then try something else. And then they're doing some fun new recipes. So they've got a Fort Fruity Cookie, which it sounds like it has fruity pebbles on it and white chocolate chips. They'll have a peanut butter and jelly cupcake. And then leaning into the camping theme, they're going to have both a s'mores cupcake and s'mores cookie. So next door to Trail's End is Crockett's Tavern, which used to be, it was like a bar with, I swear, had like four seats in it. Like that was not conducive to hanging out with more than one other person. But they've refreshed this as a lounge and have expanded the seating both inside and outside. So this is going to give you a great view of Bay Lake. And then they have reimagined the menu. So they are focusing on, I think, food a lot more than they had previously. So there's a trio of sliders. You can get a pulled pork slider with barbecue sauce and coleslaw, brisket slider with Carolina barbecue and pickled onions, and what I'm excited about, a buffalo chicken slider with house-made blue cheese dressing and dill pickles. So that'll be served with French fries. They've got a bunch of different chicken bites, which look like boneless wings. Again, you can get those with blueberry barbecue sauce. They're really featuring this. but also come with garlic parmesan or buffalo. And then there is a charcuterie board there as well. So they got for everybody, they'll have something there. They're doing some plant-based offerings and some desserts. You can get a trailblazing dessert trio. And if you are someone who enjoys alcoholic libations, they are having a heritage cocktail program, which sounds very fancy. And it's curated by guest experience managers that they are paying homage, or they're paying tribute here to the resort's 50-year history inspired by the Fort Wilderness Railroad. So you can get an all aboard moonshine cocktail. And then there's small batch whiskey, there's Applejack brandy. There's just pretty much something for everyone there. So I think this may become like the new, if you've been over to Geyser Point at the Wilderness Lodge. I know that tends to be a destination lounge for people, even if they're not staying there. I think that's what they're going for with Crockett's. And it is a very quick boat ride from Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I know this is a whole different level, but like I was getting Trader Sam vibes when you said inside and then outside seating. And I'm glad this little story made our news because it was good info.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that Crockett's was ever, even when I've stayed there, I don't think I went there. There's a to-go window that's remaining. Mm-hmm. But it is a place I would, you know, check out. And sounds like they have food to keep my kids entertained. Well, yeah. I check out the rest of the menu.
Well, we want to see, we want to visit Tricircle D Ranch. And mm-hmm. so maybe it's something that, you know, we could stop by and
have
lunch there, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds good.
That trio of sliders is exactly the trio of sliders they have at Flight Pig in Disney Springs that I always go for. So I'm interested.
Oh, in there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Good.
Well, all right. I think that's it.
Yeah, that was a lot of news, but I think everybody learned something new today. I know I did. So we just want to say bippity boppity boo from all of us to you. We wish you magic and pixie dust until we meet again.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.